Good morning. And happy Father's Day. It's great to be worshiping with you here at Asbury on this beautiful morning. We especially want to welcome our visitors this morning, members of Asbury. If you look around and see any new faces, please make sure that you make these folks welcome, invite them to the fellowship time in the WAC, and then on to Sunday school with you later. There are friendship pads placed on each of the pews. We would ask that members and visitors alike sign these for us so that we will have a record of your attendance here today. There are so many wonderful things going on in the life of our church. Most of these are listed in the bulletin, but I'm going to highlight just a couple for you at this time. First of all, this evening at 5 o'clock, we have Fun Night, which is the kickoff event for our Vacation Bible School. Our Vacation Bible School is really the highlight of our summer programs here at Asbury. It's going to be great. Parents, be here at 5 o'clock. There's no charge. All children are welcome, ages 4 through 6th grade. As you load your kids into the car to come up tonight, gather up all the neighborhood children, bring them with you, because it's going to be a super time of Christian education training and fun for our children. Secondly, and this is in the form of a sneak preview, please mark your calendars for October the 11th. This is going to be a triple event called Hog on the Hill. I did not name it. Hog on the Hill is going to include a barbecue cook-off, the fall festival, and also the kickoff for the pumpkin patch, which is a wonderful fundraising activity for our youth. And now, Tom Evans has a few things he wants to share with us. Tom?
Good morning. My name is Tom Evans, and my wife Carolyn and I have been members of this church for several years, and for the past few months, I've been honored to serve on the Staff Parish Relations Committee. And it is in that capacity that I want to talk to you this morning, because I have good news. Really my honor and my privilege to announce to you today that both of our pastors are returning to Asbury. Reverend Senior Pastor, yes. Senior Pastor Mary Hilliard will be returning for her fourth year here at Asbury. And Reverend Chase Green, who is Pastor of Discipleship and Congregational Care, will be returning for his third year. We are truly blessed by their presence, their service, and their leadership here at Asbury. I feel sure you'll want to personally congratulate them and thank them for their last few years of service, and also to show your appreciation for their reappointment here at Asbury, and of course, continue to pray for our clergy staff, our church staff, and all of us here at Asbury so that we may do our best to fulfill God's vision for his kingdom here at Asbury United Methodist Church. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, for that good news. And now let's stand together and greet one another in the peace of Christ. Join our voices in song. Our hymn of praise this morning is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's number 133 in the hymnal.
Thank you. And as we prepare for the Odell family to come forward for the baptism, I would invite the congregation to be prepared for their response on page 44 of the United Methodist Hymnal. I would also at this time like to make a correction in the bulletin. We have his name incorrect. It is George William rather than William George. And we wanted to get that straight from the get-go. So I would invite the family to come forward now. This is one of the greatest joys of ministry. You have to know this. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is given to us without price. Today, Katie and John Odell present their son, George William, for holy baptism. So I ask you this question. Will you nurture George in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will. Let us pray. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water you have provided and blessed through your Holy Spirit. We recall the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism, we grow to know Jesus, and one day, convicted of our sin, we become ready to proclaim him as Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless George William, who receives this water now. May he be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you gonna come to me? Yeah. Hi, sweetheart. Hi there. Hi there. George William, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you grow in love and favor with Jesus Christ our Lord as you grow to be a faithful disciple. In his holy name we pray. Amen. While he's being good, he wasn't expecting this little extra bath this morning. And I've got to practice when mine gets big enough to go on the hip. Look at your new family. I mean, love these crosses on this outfit. Taking note. I could give you some extra advertisement as to where it came from. Looks pretty good. Looking good. I'm telling you. Looking good. Is he always this good? Wow. Okay. Big sister's got it under control. All right, thank you for letting me stroll with him. He's wonderful. Congregation, this is your part. Won't you please stand in honor of George William Odell and his beautiful family? Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care George William Odell, whom this day we recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live as in the knowledge and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? Let us respond together. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, thank you for this precious life of George William and for his loving family. Bless them, Lord, and keep them now and forevermore in your love and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
I know Father's Day will always be a very special day for the Odell family. Blessings to you. Once again, I ask that you please stand and join me in the Litany of Faith. This is printed in your bulletin. For our fathers who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love.
We pray to the Lord.
For fathers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them.
We pray to the Lord.
For men, though without children of their own, who like fathers have nurtured and cared for us, for fathers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, we pray to the Lord. God, our Father, in your wisdom and love, you made all things. Bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to call your attention to the prayer concerns listed in your bulletin and ask that you remember these and raise them up as you go through your prayer life during the week. Also, I know that all of us have seen on the news this past week the horrible shooting at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. That left 9 people dead. Let us be in prayer for all of their families, for that church, and that we might speak out against such ignorance and viciousness for the sake of the gospel that calls us to love and care for each and every one of our brothers and sisters. And now would you bow with me in prayer? We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the many blessings you've poured into our lives. We give you honor and praise for the grace that you give us, grace that helps us through times of trouble, grace that fills us with your hope, grace that motivates us to align with your will in all things. Grace that gives joy from the many ways we celebrate your love, which is active in our lives. Bless us, Father, that we would serve you with all that we have. There is much to be done, O God, and we know that without you, we will not be able to do any of it. Strengthen us, we pray. Encourage us. Equip us with the gifts we need to build your kingdom. And it is in your holy name that we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today a daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And as our children come forward for our children's choir, I'd like to offer up a big thank you to the directors who have so served so faithfully. Those directors are Mary Noble, Sabrina Henson, and Lisa Burgess. Thank you.
All right. I know that we have some other friends. Did all of our other friends come up? Perfect. Good morning. What a day we have today at Asbury. It's Father's Day. Well, hello, Miss Hannah. Good morning. We have a baptism. We start G-Force. Little advertisement right there. Well, this morning I want to talk a little bit about our fathers. Now, we have fathers that love us, right? And we also have those in our lives who we consider fathers, right? So I made a top 10 list of things that we need to talk about with Father's Day. Are you ready? And these may be sayings of wisdom from those fathers in our lives. Number 10, why? Because I said so. That's why. Number 9, just wait till you have kids of your own. You are a busy house because she wants puppies. Number 8, what did I? Number 7, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. Number 6, do I look like I'm made out of money? Out of love. Thank you, Kirby. Number 5, not now, I'm watching the game. Number 4, when you break your leg, don't come running to me. Number 3, no, we. Number 2, be quiet. Can't you see I'm trying to think? And the number 1 wisdom of most fathers is, how should I know? Go ask your mother. Not only do we have fathers and those in our lives that love us, but we also have a Heavenly Father that loves us too, right? That's right. So today, love your fathers. Love those who are figures in your life that just need that extra love today. Because you know what? It's a very special day. So Rachel's going to pray for us. So let's pray.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for our fathers. We pray that you will bless them with the wisdom need to be good fathers. Amen.
It is true, you know, that children are always a hard act to follow. But here goes. At our annual conference, which was held this past week, there was a presentation from 200,000 Reasons, which is a task force for the Arkansas Conference 3-year initiative to end childhood hunger in our state. There are about 200,000 children in the state of Arkansas who are hungry at any given moment. There are ways that we as a church can respond. But first, let us be in prayer to move our hearts to action that we might truly make a difference in the lives of these children. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for all that you give us. Now help us to be givers to those in need, that your love would spread throughout our state. May we share and have a faith that God calls us to be givers, just as you are the great giver. Amen.
Clap your hands and shout out loud. Sing to the Lord.
Would you remain standing, please, for our hymn of meditation, which is Faith of Our Fathers, number 710 in your hymnal.
This morning, it's always a privilege to share with you from the Word of God. This morning, we go to the Gospels, finding the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. This morning, looking at verses 11 through 24. May the Word of God refresh the spirits of God's people as we hear and read from His Holy Word in Luke 15, 11 through 24. And He said there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that falls to me." And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The word of God for the people of God. This 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke is one of the best known and most familiar of all the passages in the Bible. Indeed, Luke 15 has often been called the lost and found chapter. And this particular parable has had several different names. It's been called the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son. Some have said it's the parable of the lost sons, because each son was lost in their own way. And some have even quipped that it should be called the parable of the lost mother, because there's no mention of her. But the main character in this story is the father. There was once a man who had two sons. That's how Jesus began his story. Clearly, he wanted the focus to be on the father. Now, interestingly enough, the word prodigal, which we always have interpreted as wasteful, extravagant, reckless, has been used to understand that the son that ran away from home really possessed those traits. But if you look into meaning number two of the word prodigal, you find almost the exact opposite. You find prodigal to also mean extremely generous, extravagant, profuse. So it's a negative that's actually seen also in another light as a positive. One might say, for example, that when you go to visit someone in their home, that they didn't just extend ordinary hospitality to you, that they extended prodigal hospitality, went beyond any expectation that you may have had concerning their hospitality. So the father in this story was prodigal in this way. He gave extravagantly, generously, profusely, not only in his love for his sons, but as we just read, in his forgiveness. Of course, the father in Jesus' story is meant to represent God. So this morning, I want us to think about the story in a little bit different way. I think normally we have focused on the prodigal son, but today let's look at it as the prodigal parent, the prodigal father. Let's look at some of the ways that God has poured out extravagance upon your life, that God has been prodigal in the ways that he has blessed you. I think one of the first things that I think about in the prodigal manner in which God has blessed me is that God loves each of us enough to give us freedom. God is not a clinging, controlling parent. Some of us have been a product of what that can do to a child if they have been too controlled, too held tight, clasped too harshly. It can have a difficult outcome. But it's amazing how much freedom the father in this parable gave not only the one child but both children. And the father knew his son well enough to understand that his son would encounter the temptations of a big city and might fall into some trouble, and he did. Big trouble. He could have ordered his son to stay home on the farm. It's interesting, in ancient East, actually the father had that kind of power over the family. But still the father loved his son enough to trust him and to let him go. And that's a gift that we don't often think of quite in that manner. God is like that with us. As someone has said, life is a precious inheritance. And God gives us that inheritance freely and says, take it, run with it, do what you will. And we can use this inheritance or we can waste it. We have functioning bodies. We can choose to be fit, or we can abandon them and not take good care of them. We have the gift of life itself. We can use our time wisely. We can invest it. Be productive. We also can squander it, as we well know, with video games, Facebook, all kinds of things that we can squander our time today. Most of us have, thankfully, received the gift of religious faith. Perhaps it was passed down to us from our parents, our grandparents, our church friends. And as teachers of the faith, they taught us that God loves us enough and trusts us enough to give us that free choice, that practice of freedom. Freedom to do well, but also freedom to make mistakes. On our property, we have posted signs that say, no trespassing. no hunting allowed. And we did that after we bought the property, primarily because before then it was just timberland, unprotected, uninhabited. And so when we wanted to take that little mile-long stroll around the trail, we wear orange vests so we don't get shot. But can you imagine going to a place kind of like that, where suddenly you saw a sign that said, trespassing allowed, hunting encouraged? Puts a little bit of a different spin on things. It's the idea of taking a negative and making it a positive. God certainly knew this when he gave us the Ten Commandments. Very intentionally stated, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. God has given so much freedom that he has given us so much to explore and to discover in his creation. In this sense, with the freedom that God has given us, I would say that God very much could be described prodigal, profuse, and extravagant in his love for us and in his blessings. But the second thing that I glean from this story is that Jesus teaches us through this parable that God is the kind of parent who waits patiently for you and for me to come to our senses. We're not always innately intelligent. Sometimes the only way we learn is having it in our face, making a horrible mistake. You see, the 15th chapter of Luke speaks about a great deal about things that are lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Now, Christian commentator William Barclay gives us a little bit of an insight on these three parables. He says, for instance, the lost sheep got lost due to its own foolishness. But then the lost coin obviously became lost to no fault of its own. But the son, unlike the sheep and the coin, deliberately became lost, callously turning his back on his father. But the son also, unlike the sheep and the coin, has extra gifts, has the gift of free will, has the gift of intelligence to return on his own. And what does the father do? The father waits for him to finally discover that gift of intelligence and free will to return on his own. We've all lived life long enough to know that there are consequences and costs to our decisions. Many times we wish that God would be a little bit like that mother that father follows the toddler throughout the house with the dustbuster cleaning up the messes. And I think sometimes God does. God very much is there with us all the time and very much is watching us make a mess of things. Sometimes, by his grace, he's right there cleaning it up almost as soon as we make the mess. And yet other times, because he's not a micromanager, he allows us to learn from our mistakes. We often reap what we sow. We see in this parable a son who has abused his freedom. He squandered his inheritance. His father didn't try to protect him from making his mistakes, from experiencing the costs of his decisions. The law of consequences kicked in, and he ended up feeding the pigs, and as we just read in the scripture, felt quite fortunate if he even got to eat the feed hulls, the pods, the hulls of the pig food. Now, folks, that's about as low as a good old Jewish boy can go. So when we abuse anything, our bodies, our minds, or other people, and go clearly where God does not want us to go. God does not shield us from the consequences of the direction we choose to take. God allows us to experience the emotions that come with those decisions, the emotions of fear, shame, guilt, and yes, pain, which accompany them. It accompanies those actions, and it spurs us to growth, whether we want to or not. The good news in Jesus Christ through this parable, and the hope for you and for me, is as the prodigal son experienced these harsh consequences of life, he did so, but he learned. He grew smarter. That's our hope, that we don't stagnate in our spiritual growth, that we don't stagnate in our understanding and appreciation of life, which God has blessed us to live. Know that we grow. And the final thing is this: when the son did come to his senses and made his way home, look at the reaction of the father. The father welcomed him back unconditionally and eagerly. I know a bit about unconditional love. I experienced it once with my father-in-law. We were canoeing. You're already laughing and you don't even know the story. My father-in-law, the late Reverend Alan Hilliard, was in the back of the canoe. I was in the front, and our daughter Katie, early, probably preteen, maybe 10, 11, something like that, was in the middle. As we were going around a bend of the river, there was this low-lying branch. Well, what does a mother do? Protects her daughter, right? So I pull back the branch, and then I let it go, and it hits Alan right across the chest, and he does a backflip over, and he's out of the canoe. And I realize what I've done. I go, "Oh, Alan, Alan, are you all right? Can I help you?" He goes, "No, no, I'm just fine. Go right ahead." He never, ever got on to me. And he was really quite nice to me even after that. Unconditional love. Look what happens in this story. Look what Jesus wants to make sure we see in the fine detail of the story. When the father sees his son, he doesn't walk like, "Well, about time you made it home." No. He runs to his son. He kisses and embraces him. He is so happy to see his repentant and returning son. He sees him from a distance and he runs. The son begins to confess. Look what the father does. He stops him. He stops him right dead in the middle of the tracks of his confession, and he begins to tell the servants what to do to welcome the son. Notice what he doesn't do. The father doesn't scold him. The father doesn't judge him. The father doesn't lecture him. The father doesn't say, "Son, I told you so." No. Instead, the father gathers his servants and hear his instructions to them, because again, Jesus is being very intentional in these specific instructions and is giving us a profound message we may miss in the details. "Quick, bring me your best robe." That was a sign in that culture of cloaking someone into the honor of being back in the family. "Put a ring on his finger." Well, the ring had the family crest. Again, a sign of saying, "You're in our family. You belong again to the family." "Kill the fatted calf." Well, without refrigeration back then, they had certain calves that they set to the side and particularly fattened them up for special times of celebration. And this warranted such a celebration. And you may think to yourself, was the son really, was he due such a reception? Was he deserving of that kind of reception? We would probably all agree smugly, well, no. After all, he had squandered his inheritance. He had made a mess of his life. He had affected the family, shamed them. He caused a public scandal and brought this indelible shame to the family. Simply put, he had upset his father. But as Jesus teaches us in this parable, and as he teaches us over and over in the Gospels, he tells us that grace is never earned. Grace is a gift. We're given grace. And my friends, this story, indeed the story of salvation, is all about being given something which is not deserved. I don't deserve my salvation. You don't deserve your salvation. You are given your salvation, and it is given with a price through the love of Christ. It is a gift. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but I came for the sinners. Because we are all unrighteous to an extent, we understand we will never be good enough. And thanks be to God that we don't have to get well in order to be received. That's why the scripture is so profound when it says, and while we were yet sinners, Christ went to the cross. We're redeemed by that love. Saved by faith in God, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. The story of the prodigal son, as I see it, is really the story of the prodigal parent, the prodigal father, but not reckless, but profuse and extravagant. Extravagant in the freedom that he allowed his son. No mind what that freedom might do to him. Extravagant, prodigal, profuse in his love and in his patience waiting for his son to come to his senses. And prodigal, profuse in his unconditional love. That the son, like Christ, beckons us, would become a new creation in Christ. This parable is dynamite. It is full of the gospel of salvation. It's a beloved story. It's a story that we can take to heart every day of our faith journey. Our greatest inheritance will never be something we can put in the bank, but our greatest inheritance can be something we can bank on. That of our salvation in Jesus Christ. How are you this day, then, going to go out of these doors and pass on that kind of inheritance? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is When Love is Found, page 643. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you'd like to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, the giver of that undeserving salvation, if you'd like to renew that profession, or if you'd like to come forward and to pray, now's the time to do so. Let us be standing. been so good to see families together. I love seeing our youth here as they prepare to go to OMP, and it's just wonderful to see families sitting together. And whether your father is in heaven or your father is still here on earth, reach out to them and say thanks. As we think about a family of God, our sister church, who was devastated this week by a senseless crime, carry in your hearts the thanksgiving for your faith, and that even in dying, you'll always have your faith. And in your life each day, practice your faith and be grateful for it as we go forward now and share the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.